There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
And here we go for round two of our Monday night get-together, our first show of the new year and the new decade. And, well, there's a method to my madness. Yes, I wanted to kick it off with a great first guest, and we certainly got that in Eric Massa. And, well, there are a number of reasons why I invited our next guest on, but let's just start off with welcoming Howie Klein back to the show. Howie writes the blog at downwithtyranny.com. Howie, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
And thanks for joining us tonight. I don't know if you got to hear the interview with Eric Massa or not, but I learned of him, besides from his wonderful way of being a member of Congress, through you as well.
Good. Well, Eric's an old friend. We at Blue America, the PAC that I run, we endorsed him in 2006. He didn't win, and the day after the election, I was on the phone with him begging him to keep running, and he did, and he won in 2008.
And that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you. Aside from, we will get into just what's going on in our world and all the ramifications of the events of the last few weeks. But I want to talk about getting people to run for office and the difference between being a truly progressive candidate and being someone that the Democratic Party might get behind. They're not always the same, are they?
They're rarely the same. It's funny you should be talking about these things because they're the very things that I've been thinking about a lot lately. But the kind of candidates that I'm really excited about are the ones that we don't have to try to twist their arms to do the right thing. They're the ones who want to do the right thing. I mean, you look at someone like Donna Edwards, for example, in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
She's not, I knew Donna before she was in Congress. And she's been a movement progressive, for her life. I mean, and no one ever has to tell her what to do. You go to her to find out what to do. You're not going to find someone better than Donna Edwards. And that's the ideal candidate, someone that you're not going to have to persuade to do the right thing on, health care or women's choice or equality for all people or the war, that they live and breathe it.
They know it instinctively because
a pledge about it,
right? Because that's how they feel. That's how they operate.
Exactly. The other thing that you mentioned that's important is the single most important characteristic of a good candidate is that they want to run and they want to win and they'll do what it takes, within their own ethics to win. And you can't find a candidate on the top shelf of a Walmart somewhere and dust them off and give them some money and say, okay, now run. That doesn't work. People like Eric Massa or people like Jerry McNerney, these people, it was their campaign. We could help them to win, but they're the captain and we're the helpers. So people who in the movement who think that they're going to go find candidates and get them to run, it's absurd. I mean, it's completely absurd. It does not work. You have to find someone who's got the will and the fortitude to do it. It's all consuming, and not everyone can do it. And then you just have to get behind them. And that's what makes it tough. I mean, I'm constantly getting emails from people saying, well, why don't you run somebody against, this person or that person? Well, it's not up. We don't do that. You can't find, you can't like manufacture someone to run against someone just because you don't like them. You have to, they have to be running against them. And hopefully it's a good person that's running against them. It's very, very, very tough. I mean, there are 52 blue dogs. I wish there were 52 good, solid Democrats that were running against those 52 blue dogs. But we're lucky if you find any. I mean, right now, there are only two really good progressives running against incumbent blue dogs.
Really? And where are they?
Well,
I know there's one, Marcy Winograd, against Jane Harman.
Against Jane Harman, and she's someone, I'm not supposed to really be saying this, but supposed to have it as a surprise, so I'll just tell you, but don't tell anybody else. But she's going to be the first person that Blue America endorses this year, she's our first candidate. We're going to have her on a week from Saturday.
Okay.
So she's number one. And then you've got Regina Thomas, who's running against John Barrow in Savannah, Georgia, Augusta area. And so those are the only two so far progressives that I know of who are running against, terrible blue dogs. And then you've got, a non-incumbent blue dog named Lori Edwards in Florida in an open seat, and it's a progressive named Doug Tudor who's running against her. So those are the three that we're excited about at Blue America right now.
They're not in South Florida, obviously, because I would know of them.
It was Adam Putnam's old district, so it's
Central,
I think it's, Florida.
Yeah, it's closer to, I think, St. Petersburg area.
Polk County.
Okay, yep, it's up in that area near Tampa. Howie Klein is with us. He runs the blog DownWithTyranny.com, and also he talked about the Blue America PAC. Now, this is a sort of a joint venture between you at Down with Tyranny and the people at Crooks and Liars and Digby's Hullabaloo. Is that right?
That's correct.
And how long have you had this PAC going?
Well, we started it, I think we started it in 2004. I'm not wonderful with dates.
Mm-hmm.
I know my own birth date, but that's about it. But anyway, we were very active in the 2006 election, and then again in the 2008 election, and now we're gearing up for the 2010.
Yeah,
and we didn't endorse or really get active as a PAC. I mean, as bloggers we did, but mm-hmm. as a PAC we didn't get active in the presidential election. We concentrate primarily on House races. We did a few Senate races, but they're too big and expensive for us. We're a grassroots PAC. We don't have any big donors. Our average donor gives $45, and the most, and that's the average. The median is more like $20.
Right. Right. Now, you also got behind Alan Grayson, didn't you?
Right. Well, I think we were the first to get behind Alan Grayson, and we were the ones who introduced Alan to the blogosphere. And Alan has become a very, very good friend of Blue America. And in fact, in 2009, he was the only candidate that we endorsed for the 2010 cycle.
Terrific.
Normally, Digby and John and I just pick the people who we're going to endorse. But in the case of Alan Grayson, we decided to leave it up to our donors,
mm-hmm.
and we send letters out and let everybody vote. Everybody got one vote, and Alan won. So we endorsed him.
Oh, terrific. Well, yeah, and Alan Grayson, of course, came to national prominence in October. At the end of the last week, I did sort of a year in review, and you couldn't get through October without listening to some of those classic. It was the end of September, beginning of October, when he made his very famous now floor speech on health care, talking about the Republicans' health care plan, which is don't get sick, and if you do get sick, die quickly.
Yes.
And I think that's what people are just grasping onto, is the fact that Alan Grayson came out of seemingly nowhere and spoke his mind. And we are not used to Democrats who do that. And now Eric Massa is doing the same, and he's gaining a lot of support because we Democrats are sick and tired of being wimps. Now, Howie Klein, so your website is DownWithTyranny.com, and there is a link to the Blue America PAC on there. In addition to helping candidates who are real progressives, you work with them on, you said you introduced Alan Grayson to the blogosphere. You help them basically get their feet wet and jump into the fray, as it were?
Sure, and sometimes we recommend things that for them to read, whether it's today I was speaking with Regina Thomas and telling her that that book that was written by Mike Lux,
yes,
the sort of a history of the progressive movement would be a really good book for her to read. And so, you know, sometimes we'll, you know, introduce them also to incumbents, and if someone has a good idea, we'll pass it around to other progressives so that they can perhaps use it as well. In 2006, we helped put one candidate on the map by giving him an idea that we used to use in the music business, something that that we used as a promotional tool in the music business, and I sort of retooled it for him, and he wound up being a becoming a big national candidate just from the publicity he got from that one thing.
Wow.
So we do what we can to try to help the candidates. It's not always financial. Sometimes we can get volunteers who read all blogs to go and work for them. That could be even more advantageous than just the money. And we try to help with ideas and information as well.
And that's great. So now if somebody's listening who has toyed with the idea of running for office, would you be willing to talk to those people?
We love it. We do it all the time. You know, like I said, we generally try to keep to the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, if someone is a blogger who you know we know and who's you know a proven entity in the blogging world, and they run for you know a state assembly or a state senate race or even a city race, we'll try to help them out a little bit as well. I mean, that's the exception that we make. But generally, the Blue America PAC is about the House of Representatives.
And that's great. And that's, I really think, what we need to concentrate on, too, and get rid of some of those blue dogs, in addition to the Republicans that we can vote out, but replace them with real progressives. And you mentioned the word movement progressives. And that's what I want to get at next. We got to take a break here. Howie Klein is with us. The website is downwithtyranny.com, and from there, you can click on the link to the Blue America PAC and check that out as well. We'll take a break. If you have a question for Howie, you want to join in the conversation, the lines are open, 866-303-2270. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
Nicole Sandler.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270.
Sandler.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270.
And we are back with Howie Klein. Howie writes the blog at downwithtyranny.com, and along with, well, his partners at John Amato at Crooks and Liars and Digby, who writes the Hullabaloo blog, they formed the Blue America PAC, and they help progressives run for office against not only Republicans, but also the blue dogs and the conservadems who seem to be standing in the way of getting real change through. So, Howie, you mentioned the movement progressives, and actually I was listening to Tom Hartman today, and somebody asked him, how are we going to change things? I mean, here we thought we elected Barack Obama president, and we got a supposed filibuster-proof majority in the Senate and an 80-vote majority in the House, and we still can't get anything done. And he said it's through movement politics. But the movement we need to really get together on is on the progressive side. And unfortunately, that's not what we have a real majority of.
Right, and the bad news that I wanted to say is in response to something that you said just before the break, which is it's not realistic to think that we're going to get a progressive into some of these blue dog seats. Occasionally, you can do it, like in the case of Regina, or in the case of Marcy Winograd, you can replace a reactionary like Harmon or a reactionary like Barrow with a real progressive. Those districts will allow that. But most of the blue dogs are in very conservative southern districts, and you're not going to be able to put in a real progressive. You can put in a moderate. Now, the media sometimes calls these blue dogs moderates, but that's absurd. These blue dogs are reactionaries. They're right wing. They're the extreme right wing of the Democratic Party. They're anything but moderates. But there's nothing wrong with being a moderate. I mean, a moderate is okay. I mean, I'd rather have a real progressive but there are plenty of good moderates. But you know, the media uses that word to confuse people. Because,
well, absolutely.
Like,
I mean, the media was calling Joe Lieberman and Max Baucus and Ben Nelson moderates, and I was screaming,
exactly
no.
Right. Yes.
Those are not moderates.
Not moderates.
Those are
the right wing of the Democratic Party.
Exactly.
And they are reactionaries, and they do not represent working families. They represent corporate interests. And that's a very, very big problem and people get confused with it. So the best we can do if we were going to replace a guy like, say, you know, just take the worst of the worst, and you get someone like Bobby Bright or Parker Griffith, who's not even a Blue Dog anymore. Now he's
a Republican, right?
A Republican. Or Dan Boren in Oklahoma. You take these really, really awful right-wing extremist Blue Dogs, And there's no way we're going to get an out-and-out progressive in those seats at this point. But you can get, you know, a solid, decent Democrat. There are solid, decent Democrats that represent districts just like those districts.
But the problem is the first part
of that.
Right. The part of the problem is, though, it's hard to unseat an incumbent, number one. And number two is you have the Democratic Party supporting these people, these Blue Dogs. I mean, you got Rahm Emanuel, who himself is a Blue Dog. I mean, the DLC and the Blue Dogs, to me, are sort of interchangeable. And if you try to put up a progressive against one of these Blue Dogs, you're going to have to take on the Democratic Party.
Yes, that's true. What we're trying to do with the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, is to get them to agree that they're not going to support Blue Dogs against progressives where there are open seats. Now, if you go after an incumbent,
that's another thing.
You know, there
is
a difficulty there. But in an open seat like the one in Florida that we were talking about, there is a really, really bad Blue Dog who would certainly get this Lori Edwards. She would get into Congress and be voting against everything that Obama tries to accomplish.
Yep, you got that right. Howie.
Legislation that Congress is trying to pass, she'd be on the other side.
Got it. Howie, wait, hold the line. We got to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask why you think Jim DeMint is a full-blown traitor. We'll do that when we return. Don't go away.
Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
All right, we are back with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com. That's his blog. We've been we spent the last half hour talking about the Blue America Pact because at the start of a new year, I want to get people excited, and it is an election year, and I can think of nothing better than to, if I could put Howie and his Blue America Pack together with some listeners maybe who have just thought, well, I this is what they do, this is what they think, and they should run for office, and it can happen. So, hopefully someone will hear this, and maybe Howie contact you, and that would be awesome. You still with us?
Anyway, this morning I started my day at 4 a.m. It was 7 a.m. on the East Coast, and I was on the phone with Eric Moss's office working on some stuff that we're doing with him. And if you go to the Blue America site, you'll see an opportunity to donate to Eric's campaign. And he is certainly being targeted by Republicans. They would like to knock him off. I mean, you talked about how proud we are that we have Democrats like Eric Massa and Alan Grayson who stand up and don't take it and give it back in more than equal measure to Republicans. Well, those are the ones that the Republicans are targeting. They're after both those guys. And, you know, it's easy enough for someone like Henry Waxman, who's in an all-Democratic district, to speak up, or Barney Frank. They speak up, and they're great. I love the both of them. But, you know, they're in Democratic districts. It's pretty easy. But especially Eric is in a really Republican district, and Alan is also. They're both in Republican districts, so it even makes it more difficult for them to be able to speak their minds as strongly as they do. But they do it. Neither of them hesitates.
You're absolutely right. Those are the reasons we love them. All right, I want to touch on some of the issues here with you for a bit, and I teased before the break that I was going to ask you why you think Jim DeMint is a full-blown traitor.
Oh, great. I'm so glad that you did ask that. It's what I've been writing about for the last few days.
Yes.
You see, when Jim DeMint talks about, you know, agreeing with Rush Limbaugh that he wants Obama to fail,
yep.
And when he talks about, you know, he hopes this is going to be Obama's Waterloo, meaning his defeat, and he'll mm-hmm. be vanquished.
Yep.
Okay, that's his hopes. And we know that's his hopes, and he's admitted it's his hopes, and he's entitled to have his hopes. The problem is when he's actively working against Obama and I think working against America. I honestly, sincerely believe that that Jim DeMint and others like him, there aren't a lot like him, but there are a few like him, would like to see a national catastrophe, would
yep.
like to see some kind of horror that involves the deaths of hundreds or thousands of Americans, so they could use that in a partisan way against Obama. And he has demonstrated in the past that he's willing to work against America. You know, senators aren't supposed to have foreign policies. This guy was down in Honduras working against the State Department, working against Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, who were trying to do something about the military fascist dictatorship that took over in Honduras. Well, of course, a guy like DeMint supports fascist dictatorships. And he was in the country working against American interests. He thinks that he represents American interests. Well, he was elected by by one state. Barack Obama is the president of the United States. He is supposed to be doing foreign policy, not Jim DeMint. And Jim DeMint, you know, it won't surprise me in the future to find out that he has been conspiring with America's actual enemies. And people will say, well, how? That's impossible. No one would do that. Really? Well, it's been proven that Richard Nixon did it. He sabotaged the peace talks, the Paris peace talks about Vietnam. How about Ronald Reagan, who prevented by his manipulation of the Iranians, he prevented the release of the American hostages until after the election.
You wrote about this the other day on Down with Tyranny, and this is something that seems to have been almost whitewashed by history. But Ronald Reagan, there's enough evidence to show that he and his people cut some kind of a deal with Iran to keep those hostages until the day he was inaugurated.
Yep, that's right. That's what. And so when people, think, they may hope that Obama fails, but they wouldn't do anything about it. Well, that isn't true. They would do something about it. They have. The Republicans have done it in the past, and there's DeMint is just the kind of character that would do it. And I was speaking to the guy today, this guy Chad McGowan, who's running against DeMint. He's for Senate, and he was telling me that people in South Carolina are mortified by DeMint's behavior, not just Democrats, but even, obviously there are the crazy teabagger Republicans, but normal Republicans are very upset that he's being such an obstinate obstructionist to the point where he's willing to play politics and use partisanship to the detriment of this country. And Chad McGowan thinks that this is going to help to defeat him. I hope he's right.
I hope he's right, too. Now, Hallie Klein, I don't know if you heard this report, because it basically broke tonight on Countdown, on Keith Olbermann's show, that Richard Wolff was on with him, and he said he had gotten some word that the intelligence failures that allowed this the underwear bomber on the flight from Amsterdam to Detroit on Christmas, that these failures may not have been accidental, but intentional. And they said that.
Yeah, I was watching Countdown, and I did hear that, and I had been reading it earlier in the day. So but no one knows yet.
It's
a supposition, and was it a turf war, between various factions in the intelligence community, or was it something even worse than that? And no one knows. We'll have to see what comes up out of that.
Yes, and one of the things I caution against all the time is speculation. It's just when you hear of people like Jim DeMint, like Dick Cheney, hoping that this administration fails, you have to wonder how deep their tendons go, out, and there's still a lot of the Bush Cheney people still working in this administration, which makes me think and wonder if Obama's a little too trusting for keeping some of those people around.
Yeah, it worries me too. Believe me, it worries me a lot. He should have gotten rid of them long ago. I mean,
yes.
Certainly, Bush got rid of all of the Clinton holdovers as quick as he could, and it's hard to believe, especially the Justice Department is full of Bush people.
I know. All those U.S. attorneys are still there. Look, they had the case against, oh boy, of course, now I'm drawing a blank, the senator from Alaska, Ted Stevens. They had the case against Ted Stevens thrown out, Eric Holder, but we still have Don Siegelman rotting in jail.
Well, I think he's out on bond.
But still, I mean, they're talking about not dropping charges, not even reopening the case, and he's going to go back in. You've got Paul Miner still in jail, even though his case was his conviction was vacated, but they haven't let him out of jail yet. You know,
and then you've got some of these corrupt Republicans who are taking bribes, like Jerry Lewis down in Southern California, who Rove was able to get off the hook by firing two consecutive U.S. attorneys. Two Republican U.S. attorneys who were going to indict him, and why hasn't that case been reopened? I mean, Jerry Lewis was one of the most corrupt men in the history of the United States Congress. He's still running around, and he's still a congressman. Unbelievable that's something that they're just letting it slip by.
Yeah,
and there are plenty like him.
And so it makes me wonder, you know, does somebody have something on somebody? You know, and those are the things we shouldn't have to be worrying about when it comes to our government.
Yep, amen.
Howie Klein from DownWithTyranny.com is with us. So Eric Massa was on with me in the first hour tonight, and he is pretty steadfast in his opposition to this health care bill. And I'm wondering what your thoughts on that are right now.
Well, I'll tell you. My thoughts are, having known Eric since at least 2006, when I talked to him in the very, very beginning, before we even knew each other as well as we do now, he always talked to me about single payer.
Mm-hmm.
He said there were three reasons that he wanted to run for Congress. One had to do with the war, one had to do with bad trade policies, and the other had to do with health care. And he always related them to me in a very personal way that involved him and his family. But he's always been a very, very staunch advocate of single payer. He campaigned on that, and he's a single payer guy. And when he talks about not voting for the health care bill because, you know, he thinks it's a bad bill, and he doesn't want to compromise because he believes in single payer, I believe him. And I give him the benefit of the doubt. Some people don't. Some people think that it's just his way of getting out of voting for a bill that might be unpopular in his district. But, you know what?
I never got that from him at all. And,
it's not true. I mean, he's a real single payer guy.
Well, that I know. And the thing I did ask him about is something that's not getting a whole lot of media attention, and I don't know why. And it was Bernie Sanders' holdout on the Senate side, where not only did he get $10 billion in additional funds for community health centers nationally, he didn't pull the Ben Nelson extortion thing for my state only, he got more money for community health centers for the whole nation. But he also got this provision put in, which is a state waiver, which would allow states to basically opt out of the exchange and enact their own health care program, including single payer. And the only downside to what they got through was that it wouldn't go into effect for a few years after the exchange goes into effect. And they want to get that pushed up so they go into effect concurrently. Now, on the House side, I had spoken with Dennis Kucinich just days after the vote when he and Eric Massa were the only two progressives who stayed true to the pledge they made and voted against the bill because it did not have a robust public option. Kucinich tried to get the Kucinich Amendment in. It passed his committee, but it didn't make it into the final House bill, which would basically do the same thing as this Sanders waiver does. And, I just wonder why there's been virtual silence on that issue. Because I would think that would open the door to single payer on a state by state basis, which is how they got it in Canada.
Yep. That's exactly how they got it in Canada. We have to see. I mean, we're going to know, you know, whose side Obama is on, because he's really going to have a lot of control now with the way they're doing the final bill. He's going to have a lot to say over it, and we'll know once and for all, you know, if he's on our side or their side.
You're right. Actually, they're going to do this ping pong thing instead of going to conference. They're just going to do some amendments back and forth, and it's going to be a very small group of people, I think, working on it. I think you're going to have leadership and supposedly Obama getting in there and finally getting his hands dirty. But I'll ask you the same question I've asked a lot of guests I've had on. If you were a voting member of Congress, the bill the way it is now, would you vote for it?
There is no bill right now.
Well, the you're right. Okay, well, the Senate bill, because that's what they're going to be going from.
Well, no, I don't think that they will be going. I mean, they'll be using the Senate bill and the House bill. They'll get. I mean, I spoke at great length yesterday with Donna Edwards about what she thinks is going to happen. And at that time, when we spoke, she still thought it was going to be a conference. And she doesn't think that, you know, any of the big things are going to change. Like, you know, like we're not going to suddenly have a public option in this thing. Mm-hmm. But she does think that the Senate bill could be made a lot better by combining some of the things that passed in the House. Like, for example, they'll be able to she's hoping that they can get through with things so that they won't be taxing what they're calling Cadillac plans. Which are really plans for unions.
And not only unions, but people who are self-employed. Look, I'll tell you, my boyfriend, is self-employed, and his health insurance policy is ridiculously expensive because he's got a group of one. He's got a $4,000 deductible that, you know, the other day being January 1st, he needed to get a prescription filled, he's got a sinus, like a chronic sinus infection. I'm sure he loves me talking about this, but these drops, the prescription for a month's worth cost him $468 or something ridiculous. He's got to pay $4,000 out of pocket before insurance starts paying anything. And his insurance costs him over $10,000 a year. So that's a Cadillac plan on top of having to pay for this ridiculous insurance policy. Now he's going to be taxed on it.
Right. So that's the kind of stuff that Donna Edwards was saying that they think that they could fix. She, at the time, she said she thought she could fix it in the in conference. Now she, mm-hmm. I guess, they're going to have to count on Nancy Pelosi to fix that. She also thought that perhaps they'll be able to fix but ameliorate some of the problems for poor people by increasing the amount of subsidies. She felt pretty certain that they could do that, which would go a long way. You know, when I first started getting into this, I had a long talk with Alan Grayson, who never signed that pledge, by the way.
Right.
And I called him to say, you know, Alan, how come you're not signing this? I don't understand. And he explained it to me. You know, he said, look, it's not in the end, it's going to come down to a choice. Do I want to save people's lives by going to something that I know isn't as good as we could maybe get? And so I'm not going to take a pledge that I'm not going to keep, because in the end I'm going to want to save people's lives. And even the healthcare bill being incrementally better, that we're going to have to go back to next year and the year after and the year after and the year after just to get better and better every year, I'm going to go for that. He was always very honest about that. And you know, Donna, who did sign the pledge, I think more as a tactic to, you know, give a little bit of clout to the progressives, and you know, move the process along a little bit further. But basically she's saying the same thing. I mean, she's saying, you know, this is far from a perfect bill, but it's going to do a lot of good. It's going to do a lot of good for her constituents, she feels, and they'll address more problems next year and the year after that and the year after that, and try to get it as well, as good as they can, as fast as they can.
Oh, I hope so. Howie Klein of
Your question is that's probably where I would be as well if I had a vote on this thing. I'd probably wind up doing that. There's a lot of terrible things about this bill. A lot of the people who read Down with Tyranny are just adamantly opposed to it, and they're in what you call the kill the bill camp. But I feel that there are improvements for people. There are some things about the bill that drive me crazy. I mean, this you know, the mandate.
Absolutely a catastrophe.
Yeah,
which may turn out to be unconstitutional in the long run anyway. Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com and the Blue America PAC, I hope you will check them both out. because, well, it's great reading, and it'll help you get behind some great candidates. And Hallie, we'll talk soon because I want to work with you on getting some of these candidates on the air. We'll start with Marcy Winograd in the next week or two. Thanks for joining us tonight. I gotta run, but thank you. We'll talk again soon. We'll be right back.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.